to smite father and mother was sin, but to withdraw help from them in their need, for blind zeal of offering, unto the profit of the holy Pharisees, was then as meritorious as it is now to let all your kin choose, whether they will sink or swim, while you build and make goodly foundations for holy people, which you have chosen to be your Christ, for to supple your soul with the oil of their sweet blessings and to be your Jesus for to save your soul from the purgatory of the blood that only purges sin, with their watching, fasting, while word going and rising at midnight, etc., wherewith yet they purge not themselves from their covetousness, pride, lechery, or any vice that you see among the lay people. It was great sin for Christ to heal the people on the Sabbath day unto the glory of God his Father, but none at all for them to help their cattle unto their own profit. It was sin to eat with unwashed hands or on an unwashed table or out of an unwashed dish, but to eat out of that purified dish that which came of bribery, theft and extortion was no sin at all. It was exceeding meritorious to make many disciples, but to teach them to fear God in his ordinances had they no care at all. The high prelate so defended the right of Holy Church and so feared the people with the curse of God and terrible pains of hell that no man durst leave the smallest herb in his garden untifted. And the offering and things dedicated unto God for the profit of his holy vicars were in such estimation and reverence that it was much greater sin to swear truly by them than to forswear thyself by God. What vengeance then of God, and how terrible and cruel damnation, think ye, preached they to fall on them that had stolen such holy things? And yet, says Christ, that righteousness and faith in keeping promise, mercy and indifferent judgment were utterly trodden underfoot and clean despised of those blessed fathers which so mightily maintained Aaron's patrimony and had made it so prosperous and environed it and walled it about on every side with the fear of God that no man durst touch it. It was great holiness to garnish the sepulchres of the prophets and to condemn their own fathers for slaying of them, and yet were they themselves, for blind zeal of their own constitutions, as ready as their fathers to slay whosoever testified unto them the same truth which the prophets testified unto their fathers. So that Christ compared all the righteousness of those holy patriarchs unto the outward beauty of a painted sepulchre full of stench and all uncleanness within. And on the other side, they had set up the righteousness of holy works, to cleanse their souls withal, as the Pope sanctifies us with holy oil, holy bread, holy salt, holy candles, holy dome ceremonies and holy dome blessings, and with whatsoever holiness you will, save with the holiness of God's Word, which only speaks unto the heart and shows the soul her filthiness and uncleanness of sin, and leads her by the way of repentance unto the fountain of Christ's blood to wash it away through faith, by the reason of which false righteousness they were disobedient unto the righteousness of God, which is the forgiveness of sin in Christ's blood, and they could not believe it. And so, through fleshly interpretation of the law and false imagined righteousness, their hearts were hardened and made as stony as clay in a hot furnace of fire, that they could receive neither repentance nor faith or any moisture of grace at all. But the heathen Ninevites, though they were blinded with lusts in earnest, yet were in those two points uncorrupt and unhardened, and therefore, with only the preaching of Jonah came unto the knowledge of their sins and confessed them and repented truly and turned every man from his evil deeds and declared their sorrow of heart and true repentance with their deeds which they did out of faith and hope of forgiveness, chastening their bodies with prayer and fasting, and with taking all pleasures from the flesh, trusting, as God was angry for their wickedness, even so should he forgive them of his mercy, if they repented and forsook their misliving. And in the last end of all, you have yet a goodly example of learning, to see how earthy Jonah is still for all his trial in the whale's belly. He was so sore displeased, because the Ninevites perished not, that he was weary of his life and wished after death for very sorrow and pain that he had lost the glory of his prophesying and that his prophesy came not to pass. But God rebuked him with a likeness, saying, "It grieves your heart for the loss of a vile shrub or shoot whereon thou bestowed no labor or cost, neither was it your handwork. How much more then should grieve my heart, the loss of so great a multitude of innocents, as are in Nineveh, which are all my handwork? Nay, Jonah, I am God over all, and father as well unto the heathen as unto the Jews, and merciful to all, and warn ere I smite neither threat I so cruelly by any prophet, but that I will forgive, if they repent and ask mercy neither on the other side, whatsoever I promise will I fulfill it, save for their sakes only which trust in me and submit themselves to keep my laws of very love, as natural children." On this manner, to read the scripture is the right use thereof, and why the Holy Spirit caused it to be written. That is that you first seek out the law, what God will have you to do, interpreting it spiritually without gloss or covering the brightness of Moses' face, so that you feel in your heart how that it is damnable sin before God not to love your neighbor that is your enemy as purely as Christ loved you, and that not to love your neighbor in your heart is to have committed already all sin against him. And therefore until that love be found in you, you must acknowledge indignantly that there is sin in the best deed you do. And it must earnestly grieve your heart, and you must wash all your good deeds in Christ's blood, ere they can be pure and an acceptable sacrifice unto God, and you must desire God the Father, for his sake, to take your deeds at worth and to pardon the imperfectness of them, and to give you power to do them better and with more fervent love. And on the other side, you must search diligently for the promises of mercy which God has promised you again. Which 2 points, that is, to wit, the law spiritually interpreted, how that all is damnable sin that is not in faint love out of the ground and bottom of the heart after the example of Christ's love to us, because we be all equally created and formed of one God our Father, and indifferently bought and redeemed with one blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that the promises be given unto a repenting soul that thirsts and longs after them, of the pure and fatherly mercy of God through our faith only without all deserving of our deeds or merits of our works, but for Christ's sake alone and for the merits and deservings of his works, death and passions that he suffered altogether for us and not for himself, which 2 points I say, if they be written in your heart, are the keys which show open all the scripture unto you that no creature can lock you out and with which you shall go in and out and find pasture and food everywhere. And if these lessons be not written in your heart, then is all the scripture shut up, as a kernel in the shell, so that you may read it and comment of it and rehearse all the stories of it and dispute subtly and be a profound sophister, and yet understand not one jot thereof. And thirdly, that you take the stories and lives which are contained in the Bible, for sure and undoubted examples, that God so will deal with us unto the world's end. Herewith, reader, farewell and be commended unto God and unto the grace of his Spirit. And first see,
that you stop not your ears unto the calling of God, and that you harden not your heart beguiled with fleshly interpreting of the law and false imagined and hypocritical righteousness. And so the Ninevites rise with you at the day of judgment and condemn you. And secondarily, if you find aught amiss, when you see yourself in the glass of God's word, think it compendious wisdom to amend the same in good time, admonished and warned by the example of other men, rather than to tarry, until you be beaten also. And thirdly, if it shall so chance, that the wild lusts of your flesh shall blind you and carry you clean away with them for a time yet at the later end, when the God of all mercy shall have compassed you in on every side with temptations, tribulations, adversities, and encumbrances, to bring you home again unto your own heart and to set your sins which you would so fain cover and put out of mind with delectation of voluptuous pastimes, before the eyes of your conscience, then call the faithful example of Jonah and all like stories unto your remembrance, and with Jonah turn unto your Father that smote you not to cast you away, but to lay a corroding and a fretting plaster unto the pock that lay hid and fret inward, to draw the disease out and to make it appear, that you might feel your sickness and the danger thereof and come and receive the healing plaster of mercy. And forget not that whatsoever example of mercy God has showed, since the beginning of the world, the same is promised you, if you will in like manner turn again and receive it, as they did. And with Jonah be aware of your sin and confess it and acknowledge it unto your Father. And, as the law, which frets your conscience, is in your heart and is no outward thing, even so seek within in your heart the plaster of mercy, the promises of forgiveness in our Savior Jesus Christ, according unto all the examples of mercy that are gone before. And with Jonah let them that wait on vanities and seek God here and there and in every temple save in their hearts, go and seek you the testament of God in your heart. For in your heart is the word of the law and in your heart is the word of faith in the promises of mercy in Jesus Christ. So that, if you confess with a repenting heart and knowledge, and surely believe that Jesus is Lord over all sin, you are safe. And finally, when the rage of your conscience is ceased and quieted with lively faith in the promises of mercy, then offer with Jonah the offering of praise and thanksgiving, and pay the vow of your baptism that God only saves and only of His mercy and goodness that is believed steadfastly and preached constantly that it is God only that smites and God only that heals, ascribing the cause of your tribulation unto your own sin, and the cause of your deliverance unto the mercy of God. And beware of the leaven that says we have power in our free will before the preaching of the gospel to deserve grace, to keep the law of congruity or God to be unrighteous. And say with John in the first chapter, that, as the law was given by Moses, even so grace to fulfill it is given by Christ. And when they say our deeds with grace deserve heaven, say you with Paul, Romans 6, that everlasting life is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we be made sons by faith, John 1, and therefore heirs of God with Christ, Romans 8. And say that we receive all of God through faith that follows repentance, and that we do not our works unto God, but either unto ourselves to slay the sin that remains in the flesh and to wax perfect, either unto our neighbors which do as much for us again in some other things. And when a man exceeds in gifts of grace, let him understand that they be given him, as well for his weak brethren, as for himself, as though all the bread be committed unto the one who pants after it, yet for his fellows with him, which give the thanks unto their Lord and recompense the one who pants again with other kind service in their offices. And when they say that Christ has made no satisfaction for the sin we do after our baptism, you say with the doctrine of Paul that in our baptism we receive the merits of Christ's death through repentance and faith, of which two things baptism is the sign. And oh, when we sin of frailty after our baptism, we receive the sign no more, yet we be renewed again through repentance and faith in Christ's blood, which twain, the sign of baptism ever contained among us in baptizing our young children, does ever keep in mind and call us back again unto our profession, if we be gone astray, and promise us forgiveness. Neither can actual sin be washed away with our works, but with Christ's blood neither can there be any other sacrifice or satisfaction to Godward for them, except Christ's blood. For as much as we can do no works unto God, but receive only of His mercy with our repenting faith, through Jesus Christ our Lord and only Savior, unto whom and unto God our Father through Him and unto His Holy Spirit, that only purges, sanctifies, and washes us in the innocent blood of our redemption, be praised forever. Amen. The Story of the Prophet Jonah. The First Chapter. The word of the Lord came unto the prophet Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Rise and get thee to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto them how that their wickedness is come up before me. And Jonah made him ready to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found there a ship ready to go to Tarshish, and paid his fare, and went aboard to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind into the sea, so that there was a mighty tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was likely to go to pieces. And the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast out the goods that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was under the hatches, and laid him down and slumbered. And the master of the ship came to him and said unto him, Why slumbered thou? Up, and call unto thy God, that God may think on us that we perish not. And they said one to another, Come and let us cast lots to know for whose cause we are thus troubled. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, Tell us for whose cause we are thus troubled, what is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country called, and of what nation art thou? And he answered them, I am an Hebrew, and the Lord God of heaven, which made both sea and dry land, I fear. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why did thou so? For they knew that was fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may cease from troubling us? For the sea roared and was troublous. And he answered them, Take me and cast me into the sea, and so shall it let you be in rest, for I know it is for my sake that this great tempest is come upon you. Nevertheless the men essayed with rowing to bring the ship to land, but it would not be, because the sea so wrought and was so troublous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's death, neither lay innocent blood unto our charge, for thou, Lord, even as thy pleasure was, so thou hast done. And then they took Jonah and cast him into the sea, and the sea left raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and sacrificed sacrifice unto the Lord and vowed vows. The second chapter. But the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And so was Jonah in the bowels of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the bowels of the fish. And he said, In my tribulation I called unto the Lord, and he answered me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou had cast me down deep in the midst of the sea, and the flood compassed me about, and all thy waves and rolls of water went over me, and I thought that I had been cast away out of thy sight. But I will yet again look toward thy holy temple. The water compassed me even unto the very soul of me, the deep lay about me, and the waves were wrapped about mine head. And I went down unto the bottom of the hills, and was barred in with earth on every side forever. And yet thou, Lord my God, brought out my life again out of corruption. When my soul fainted in me, I thought on the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, even into thy holy temple. They that observe vain vanities have forsaken him that was merciful unto them. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and will pay that I have vowed, that saving cometh of the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it cast out Jonah again upon the dry land. The third chapter. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jonah again, saying, Up and get thee to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto them the preaching which I bade thee. And he arose and went to Nineveh at the Lord's commandment. Nineveh was a great city unto God, containing 3 days' journey. And Jonah went to and entered into the city even a day's journey, and cried, saying, There shall not pass 40 days, but Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed fasting, and arrayed themselves in sackcloth, as well the great as the small of them. And the tidings came unto the king of Nineveh, which arose out of his seat, and did his apparel off, and put on sackcloth, and sat him down in ashes. And it was cried and commanded in Nineveh by the authority of the king and of his lord, saying, See, that neither man or beast, ox or sheep taste aught at all, and that they neither feed or drink water. And they put on sackcloth both man and beast, and cried unto God mightily, and turned every man from his wicked way, and from doing wrong in which they were accustomed, saying, Who can tell whether God will turn and repent, and cease from his fierce wrath, that we perish not? And when God saw their works, how they turned from their wicked ways, he repented on the evil which he said he would do unto them, and did it not. The fourth chapter. Wherefore Jonah was sore discontent and angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? And therefore I hasted rather to flee to Tarshish, for I knew well enough that thou wast a merciful God, full of compassion, long ere thou be angry, and of great mercy, and repentest when thou art come to take punishment. Now therefore take my life from me, for I had rather die than live. And the Lord said unto Jonah, Art thou so angry? And Jonah gat him out of the city, and sat him down on the east side thereof, and made him there a booth, and sat thereunder in the shadow till he might see what should chance unto the city. And the Lord prepared, as it were, a wild vine which sprang up over Jonah, that he might have shadow over his head to deliver him out of his pain. And Jonah was exceeding glad of the wild vine. And the Lord ordained a worm against the spring of the morrow morning, which smote the wild vine, that it withered away. And as soon as the sun was up, God prepared a fervent east wind so that the sun beat over the head of Jonah, that he fainted again and wished unto his soul that he might die, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. And God said unto Jonah, Art thou so angry for thy wild vine? And he said, I am angry a good, even unto the death.
And the Lord said, Thou hast compassion on a wild vine, whereon thou bestowedest no labor nor madest it grow, which sprang up in one night and perished in another, and should not I have compassion on Nineveh, that great city, wherein there is a multitude of people, even above 100,000 that know not their right hand from the left, besides much cattle? End of audiobook. Copyright 2009 Hail and Fire. Visit the Hail and Fire online library at www.hailandfire.com for more free audio and digital books. Hail and Fire is a resource for Reformed and Gospel theology in the works, exhortations, prayers, and apologetic of those who have maintained the gospel and expounded upon the scripture as the eternal word of God and the sole authority in Christian doctrine. Point.